If you would, go to the book of Genesis now. And we'll go to Genesis chapter 41. And the subject is the exaltation of Joseph. The exaltation of Joseph. As you know, when we last met, last Wednesday evening, we left Joseph. He was in prison. He's in Egypt. He has risen to be a very trusted inmate. And he's been given authority over the other prisoners. We know two of them had dreams, which Joseph was enabled by God to interpret. Pharaoh's chief butler and his chief baker both had dreams, and Joseph was enabled by the Lord to interpret the dreams. And both the dreams came to pass as Joseph interpreted them, with the chief of the bakers being hung and the chief of the butlers being exalted. And it was up to the king, up to Pharaoh, as to what happened to both of them. Let us learn a valuable lesson. The king of the ages, that one who governs all things according to his own sovereign will, in his hands are the issues of life and death. Oh God, if it pleases you, you can cause us to live for you, to live spiritually, to live by your grace. And if it pleases you, you can leave us right where you found us, in our spiritual death. Lord, show mercy to us, show grace to us is our plea. And so Joseph is the interpreter of dreams, and he is forgotten by the chief butler. Joseph had said to him, "Now, when you're exalted back to your former position, remember me. Don't forget me. I'm the one who interpreted your dream. And I'm here unfairly. Please remember me." And the chief butler said, "I'll remember you. I won't forget you." But he did. And yet that lapse in his memory, that was according to the purpose of God. Because as I thought about this morning and yesterday afternoon as well, if the chief butler had said to Pharaoh, "Hey," or to his, to Pharaoh himself, "This fellow interpreted my dream, and he's in jail unfairly. Why don't you release him?" Well, if he had been released, no doubt Joseph would have gone back to be with his dad. But that wasn't the purpose of God. That wasn't what God had ordained. Not at all. And so even though the memory, that's under the sovereign authority of God, so is our forgetfulness. And he forgot about Joseph. But that's going to work out for Joseph's good. And so Joseph sits in the prison for 2 years. And maybe he thought he had been forgotten by God. Certainly the chief butler forgot him, but maybe he thought, we don't read this of course, but maybe he thought that the Lord has forgotten. The psalmist said in Psalm 31 and verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. But though all others should forget Joseph," I'll tell you somebody who never forgot him. God never forgot him. And he's never forgotten any of his children. He said, "I have engraven you upon the very palms of my hands." He said, "Can a mother forsake her baby?" Maybe she would. Lord said, "I'm not going to forsake you." and He'll never forget us. Listen, He's the one who chose us unto salvation. He's the one who ordained us an everlasting life. He's the one who redeemed us by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He's the one who sent His Spirit to woo us and to take away from us that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. It's the Lord who miraculously and irresistibly He called us unto Himself. He established within us a principle of grace. The very life of God in the soul. Could you ever be forgotten by God? That is impossible. And though we may forget our Lord, He'll never forget us. I well remember my mother in her last months and weeks. She was an Alzheimer's patient. And she forgot all of us. And that hurts. And some of you have been there. You know what that means. And we'd go see her and, "Who are you again?" You know. And she even forgot the message of the gospel. I talked to her. She said, "Is this what I believe?" Had no memory. But the Lord never forgot her. We are etched upon the very heart of God. And though all men forsake us and forgive us, the Lord won't. He remembers us. We're told to remember Him. And we remember Him certainly in the Lord's Supper. "This do in memory of me." That's inscribed upon the table in front of me. But even when our minds aren't on the Lord, and God help us and God forgive us, but our minds, there are only so many things that can occupy our minds at one time. And there are times when the Lord isn't in our thoughts. Now, He's not very far away from our thoughts, but there are times when we have other things that occupy our time, and you know what I mean. But He is always fully occupied with His people. And though Joseph may be there in the prison, and though he may have been forgotten by the chief butler, yet our Lord who ordained him unto everlasting life never forgot him. He knew exactly where he was. And the circumstances in which Joseph found himself. And the Lord knows the circumstances in which you find yourself. And those of you who are watching, or some of you are going through tremendous difficult times. But those who are loved of the Lord need not fear. The Lord is with you. I was visiting with Peggy and quoted some scripture to her and prayed with her. And I said, "I've got to go, Peggy. I've just got to go." And she said, "I wish you could stay with me. I don't like to be by myself." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, you're not by yourself." And she said, "Oh, I know I'm not. I know I'm not. The Lord is with us. I'll never leave you," He said. "I'll never forsake you." So that we may with boldness say, "I'm not going to be afraid of anybody or anything." I tell you what, if the Lord is with me, I'd attempt to do whatever He called upon me to do. But if I didn't feel like He was with me, I wouldn't try to sweep the floor, would you? Don't attempt to do anything without the very presence of the Lord. So Joseph, he's in prison. But then we see the absolute authority of God, because the king has a couple of dreams. Let me read them to you. Look at verse 2. And I'll read verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. I expect they dragged on. Don't you think that? 2 full years in prison? Well, Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cows, kine, and fat-fleshed. They fed in a meadow. Fine cattle. They're fattened up, ready for the slaughter. And behold, 7 other kine, they came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. They stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river, the other cows. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cattle did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. Pharaoh awoke. Bad dream. Confusing dream. Goes back to sleep. Verse 5. He slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Just beautiful. And behold, 7 thick ears, very thin ears. They were blasted with the east wind. They sprung up after them. Verse 7, the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Verse 8 says he was troubled. Now, of course, the Egyptian people, they were very superstitious people, and to them, dreams meant something. And indeed, these dreams did mean something. And here we see the absolute authority of God, even over the subconscious thoughts of a heathen king. The dreams that he dreamed, though they were in his own mind, yet it was the Lord who put those thoughts in his mind, and then he sought an interpreter of the dreams. Never underestimate the absolute authority and dominion of God. He even controls the thoughts of the heathen. The heart of the king, the scripture says, it is in the Lord's hands, even as the rivers of water. He turneth them whithersoever he will. And here the Lord turns the thoughts of an Egyptian king, a superstitious, idolatrous man, the Lord turns his thoughts that he has these two dreams, of course, that paralleled each other. He's very troubled. So it says in verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. He called in all the soothsayers, all the wise men, all the men that had the degrees. Remember, Egypt was at that time the most powerful nation in the world. This was a very cultural center of education and philosophy. But as we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, man by wisdom knew not God. Here within Egypt and within the reach of this mighty king were the wisest men on earth. And yet the wisest men on earth did not have any understanding of his dreams. They were foolish. They were foolish men. They couldn't understand what the dreams meant. And so we read in verse 9, and then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. You see, God brings to his memory that which he needs to remember at exactly the right time. Understand this, people of God. God's time is always the right time. Joseph, don't be discouraged. 2 years in prison. The chief butler forgot you. Wait a minute. Hang on, brother. Just hang on. The Lord is behind all this. And I say to all of you who are the Lord's people, and it, whatever your circumstance is, and no matter how difficult some of you may feel like your trials and your troubles and your afflictions are, our God governs all things. There is nothing that is outside of his domain. You understand that? That's what we need to remember. God is the God of all things. We just read in Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are how many things? All things. There are no exceptions. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through with. Well, I don't. But I do know who does. And the reason you're going through whatever it is that you're going through is because God, your Heavenly Father, in His infinite wisdom, deemed it best for you. Therefore, you're right where God would have you to be. And I've always maintained this. I try to comfort people when they're troubled and distressed. Listen. If there was a better road for you to be on, don't you think your Heavenly Father would have you on it? He is so tender-hearted toward His children. But He who from the beginning ordained the end is bringing everything to pass for your good. And even if we're spending 2 years in a prison, believe God. Believe God. He's too good to make a mistake. He's too holy to do anything wrong. And He loves you too much to permit anything truly destructive to your soul to happen to you. Nothing's going to happen like that. And I do maintain this. If you have heard the good news of that full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, of the full and forgiveness of sins, of that righteousness imputed to us, that we're clothed with the garments of salvation, if you have really heard the good news, there is no bad news. There is no bad news. I remember when Joe was talking about he lost a tooth today. I remember when I went to my dentist and here several weeks ago. And he was looking at a tooth. I had a tooth problem. And he said, I've got some really bad news for you. He said, it's the worst news I could get you. I said, really? He said, yeah, that tooth, it's shot. He said, I've got to operate on the root. You're going to have to go to an oral surgeon. He's going to cut it open. I said, and that's the worst news you got for me? That's not the worst news. There is no bad news for the child of God. The Scripture says we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 7, John sees this number which no man can number. They're all clothed in white garments. The righteousness of the saints, which is the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus. And the question is raised to one of the elders, who are these? The elder said, you know. These are they that have washed their garments in the blood of the Savior And they've all come out of great tribulation. All of them. And that means you're not going to be excluded from tribulation. Whatever degree God has ordained, and the sorts of tribulation you're going to go through may be altogether different than the tribulation somebody else in this congregation is going to go through. But rest assured, all of God's people enter into the kingdom going through great tribulation. But we shall go through. That's the reason I selected that song for us to sing, How Firm a Foundation. Isaiah says, and he quotes the Lord, when you go through the fiery trials, you're not going to be consumed. When you go through the river, the waters aren't going to overflow you. Oh, brethren, truly we worry much too much for a people who says, I believe in the sovereign authority of our God. I say, shame on us. God forgive us, and thankfully He does. He does. Here's our God. Why is Joseph down there in prison? God put him there. Oh, no, preacher. Potiphar put him there, and his wife was the one instrumental in having him put there. They were just instruments that God manipulated to get Joseph where he needed to be. This is what we need to remember. And we tend to forget this. Every single event that happens to you, it happens according to the sovereign authority of God. I find great comfort in that. And I know you do. There's no luck. There's no chance. Well, you know, such and such a thing happened. Well, you were very fortunate. No, it's not about being fortunate. It's about God's divine providence. The Lord is directing all things in your life toward the end that He has purposed for you. And I'll tell you, you know, somebody said, we have, the reason we worry is because of a 6-inch difference between the head and the heart. What we have on our minds, and we know the truth. We know the truth. But boy, if it be in our hearts, more than it is. I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm fussing at all of us. Me included. I'm just saying that we need to rest more fully in our Lord. Well, the chief butler says, now I remember. All of a sudden, God triggers his memory. This is under the authority of God, too. I remember a Hebrew who interpreted my dream and the dream king of your chief baker, whom you hanged. And I tell you, this Hebrew man, he told me about that. And he told me I would be exalted to my former position. And here I am. And so, look at verse 14. Pharaoh sent and he called for Joseph. And they brought him hastily. Let me tell you something. The king sends for you. You're going to come hastily. And I see a gospel picture right here of us in the dungeon of Satan and sin. And the King of Kings, He calls for us. And when He sends forth that effectual call, we will come forth hastily out of the prison. When He speaks, the door to the prison just opens up. And He draws us effectually unto Himself. And the Scripture says here that concerning Joseph. He shaved himself. He changed his raiment. Why has he got to have a change of raiment? He's going to stand before the king. And you and I, the Lord has cleaned us up. He's washed us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's put a change of raiment on us. What is that? He took off our old, tattered, dirty rags of our self-righteousness, and He robed us in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as Isaiah said, the garments of salvation. Oh, now we're fit for the presence of the King. You see, by nature we're not fit for the presence of the Lord. But by grace we are. By grace we are. So He appears before Pharaoh in verse 15. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream. Nobody can interpret it. I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, watch this, takes no credit to himself. It isn't in me. This is the man of God speaking. It isn't in me. It's not in you. You say, Jim, you stand and you set forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. It's not in me by nature. God gives me the message. And Joseph says, it's not in me. It's not me. It's not you. Let's don't give too much credit to the preacher. I'm thankful God uses preachers. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you, the preacher can't reveal truth to you. Only the Spirit of grace can do that. He says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Pharaoh, he repeats the dream that he had. Tells Joseph all about it. And we get down to verse 25, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is really just one dream. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Not what he's going to endeavor to do, or try to do, or attempt to do. What God's going to do. And you read on, there's going to be a time of lots of food coming in. And then there's going to be a time of drought. Understand this. The same God who is sovereign over all things is sovereign over the weather. He sends the rain. He sends the famine. He sends the harvest. He sends the dearth. This is all of the Lord. And I know men want to all... You know, we're destroying the environment. We're bringing this on the earth. The earth is cursed because of us. We're destroying the environment, so forth and so on. Our God governs all things. That includes the weather. And I know we oftentimes are unhappy about the weather, but actually we shouldn't be. Because our Heavenly Father is behind that too. He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. And He sends the sunshine upon the just and the unjust. And so Joseph, he interprets the dream. He says it's going to be 7 years of lots of food. But I'll tell you what you need to do. Need to take about 20% of the country of Egypt and just raise crops on those and save them. Put them in the granaries. Don't waste them. There's going to be lots and lots of food. God's going to see to it. And you go ahead and preserve a goodly amount of it. And that's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And everybody's going to get hungry. But if you've done this, what I'm advising you to do, I'm interpreting the dream. If you, in fact, he says, you appoint a man who's wise, and he can take care of this for you. But if you don't do that, everybody's going to starve to death. Pharaoh said, boy, this is a good idea. Talk to his servants. All said, this guy makes sense to us. The king says, you're the man I'm going to appoint over the land and all these crops. You'll be the one to take care of all of it. And he says to Joseph, he said, look at verse 39. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee or manifested thee all of this, there's none so discreet and wise as you are, why, you'll be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Learn this. In Joseph's exaltation, we see a picture of the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was brought low, yea, even put in the very prison of death. But death couldn't hold him. God brought him forth. And God has exalted him and seated him at his own right hand. And he's the governor of all things. Our Lord Jesus. Our elder brother. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the Father says, you're over my house. You're over my people. You're the governor. You take care of my people, and in so doing, you govern all the world. And here's what Pharaoh did in verse 42. He took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand. He arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain upon his neck. Our Lord has been exalted with honor and glory. And seated at the Father's right hand. And the Father commands all men to bow to my son. In fact, Joseph, the king had servants go before Joseph in verse 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had made. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And that's what God's servants do today. We go before our Lord Jesus, as it were, and we say, bow the knee. He's the Lord. You can't make him Lord. God made him Lord. God exalted him with his own right hand because he was faithful to do the work of redemption God gave him to do in the covenant of grace. And of the Savior it is written in Isaiah, he shall not fail. He redeemed God's people. He saved God's elect. Was it not spoken by the angel of the Lord to Joseph? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course it was spoken to him. Well, did he save them or not? If he didn't, he's a failure. But he couldn't fail. He did save his people. He did save his people. He saved his people by his death. Therefore, he has been exalted. And the Lord said through Pharaoh to Joseph, verse 44, I'm Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And you hear me. Without the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, nobody can even lift up their hand or their foot. You can't make a move without the Lord giving you the ability to do it. He's the governor of the nations. He doesn't want to reign. He does reign. He doesn't desire to rule. He does rule. And you will bow to Him either sooner or later. Somebody said bowing in this life by the grace of God, by the enabling ability that the Spirit of God gives you, that's salvation. But if God doesn't make you bow to Him in this life, He'll make you bow to Him at the judgment. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. It's not a matter of letting Him be the Lord of your life. He is the Lord. God made Him Lord. These so-called preachers, they say, won't you make Jesus Lord of your life? And I just want to grab them through the television screen and say to him, you can't make Him Lord. God beat you to that. God made Him Lord. We bow to His Lordship. Well, Pharaoh said, here's your name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. You're the revealer of secrets. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus, He's the revealer of the secrets of God. No man can know the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. Do you understand how God can save sinners? That He does it through the substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. By the satisfaction of divine justice. Only the Lord can reveal that to you. And our Lord Jesus says, Father, I thank that You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Hear the magicians of Pharaoh. They can't make heads nor tails of this. You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. And He's revealed them unto babes, even the babes of His people. Do you see in your mind's eye, and do you see and understand by faith Christ reigning, ruling over all things? Thank God for revealing grace. Well, it says in verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's when he really began his public ministry. Oh, that's when our Lord Jesus began His public ministry. At 30 years of age. And of course, everything that God had said, it all came to pass. And then I just want to skip down to verse 53. The 7 years of the plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people began to cry. They cried to Pharaoh, we need bread. We need bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. What he saith to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And you know what Joseph did in verse 56? He opened all the storehouses. And let me tell you something. All the storehouses of God's saving grace, they're under the lock and key of Christ Jesus. And he has bread enough and to spare. But I'll tell you what God will, He'll create within you. A hunger He will create within you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And as it says in that beatitude, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does the Scripture say? What did the Savior say? They shall be filled. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the bread that only You can give me. The bread that will satisfy the soul. He gives us the hunger. And then He satisfies the hunger. He gives us the thirst. Our Lord, on the last day of the feast of the tabernacles in John 7, He stood before the people and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. But you know what's going to happen first? You've got to be thirsty. So I don't understand why more people don't believe this gospel. They're neither hungry nor thirsty. Where does that hunger, where does that thirst have to come from? It isn't in the natural man. The Lord has to create that thirst for the water of life. He has to create within you that hunger for that one who is the bread come down from heaven. And if the Lord does that, you'll go to Joseph, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find out all the storehouses of the infinite blessings of God are in His hands. And He opens the storehouses to you. So, it says in verse 57, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And we're in spiritual famine. There's no question about it in our country. There's a spiritual famine for the Word of God. But here and there, the Lord has a storehouse set up for His hungry people, the people He's going to make hungry. And they'll learn by the preaching of the Word. They'll learn that a greater than Joseph, He has come and satisfied God's justice, laid down His life, gave His life a ransom for many. He's gone back to glory. The Father has exalted Him. And He gives to us that desire to know God, to know Him in the power of His resurrection. And such is that irresistible work of God that when He creates a hunger, it's only satisfied by feeding on that one who is the bread of life, Christ Jesus. And He creates a thirst. And the thirst is only satisfied by drinking from the wells of salvation, even from our Lord Jesus, who is the water of life. Oh, He's the sovereign Christ. And He reigns over all. Lay your worries aside. As Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Don't worry anymore. I was reading today a poem by William Cowper, or Cooper, some people call him. He wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood," but he also wrote this, and this is about the providence of God. And I was thinking about Joseph being in the prison in Egypt. And William Cowper, he said, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face." And that providence that has brought you into the dungeon of life, as it were, it made that providence made to you seem like a frown. Let me tell you something. God is never frowning upon His people. He's pleased with us in Christ. And that which befalls us works together with all things for your good. And we can say accurately to Joseph, listen, Joseph, over your whole life, Romans 8:28 is written. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are they called according to His purpose. Could we kind of summarize the whole life of Joseph that way? You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? Sure, there's no question about it. But wait a minute. That's also true of your life. Over the headlines over your life, it will be written at last, all things worked together for good to them that love God. Do you love God the way He's revealed in His Word? Holy, just, righteous, sovereign. I do. I can't put up with anybody speaking against the attributes of God. I'm just not going to stand for it. I love God as He's revealed in the book. He Himself has called me by His grace. And I know He's working all things together. Together. For my good. And for the good of all of His people. That ought to help you. That ought to help you. And I believe it does.